Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning. This is a National Fire Prevention Week, and we're going to talk about a lot of fire safety stuff this morning with Ben Goldman is the Deputy Fire Chief in Stafford, and Katie Brady, the Public Information Officer for Stafford Fire and Rescue. Great to have you guys back. We do this a bunch of times a year, and it's always good information. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
This is, you were just telling us, Ben, and informing us that this is that Fire Prevention Week is one of the oldest in the country as far as, you know, setting a week aside for something.
Yes, it's one of the longest running public health observances in the United States. It's been running since 1922.
Wow, interesting. You wonder now. Here's an off the wall question about fire safety and fire. You know, have things changed over the years where fire things that were a problem then are, you know, we have new problems today?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I think this year's theme that is set by the NFPA for Fire Prevention Week is a perfect example of that. This year they're focusing on lithium-ion battery safety. And 50 years ago, that wasn't super on a lot of people's radars. Yeah. But so many things in our lives are powered by lithium-ion batteries, and nationally we're seeing an increase in those fires. So they do try and make those themes adapt to national trends as those things change over the years. I mean, after 100 years, you have to get a little creative.
Yeah, well, I'm yes. Sure. Yeah, but you know, no, and you're right. The lithium batteries, I think that a lot of us don't take it seriously. Because I see the warnings, or, you know, if they get, you know, all the different things. And I don't know that I've ever thought, like, well, that's a problem around here. I never think that. And that's why
lithium,
you're here today.
And lithium batteries are in everything today. They're in, if it's powered, it's more than likely a lithium battery that powers it. From your cell phones, computers, e-bikes, the scooters.
I'll tell on myself. I had a power bank for charging charging devices.
Yeah.
I hadn't pulled it out of my bag in a while, we'll say, and I pulled it out the other week, and the battery had actually swollen up enough to the point where the casing had popped off. So
if that happens, I'm thinking that you're probably can it be salvaged? I'm thinking no.
It's not usable anymore, and get it outside.
Yeah.
Get it outside. Let it be. And then somehow get it to a recycler, however the safest way to do that is.
Boy, and I guess that's the thing too, because it's we're told don't take them to don't go just throw them in a landfill.
No, don't throw them in your trash. Don't throw them in your regular trash, and don't take them to the landfill, because what happens, they can get smashed, poked, or punctured, and that will result in a fire. There are recyclers around the area that you can take these small batteries too.
Well, and like you said, Ben, when we started the show, that the lithium batteries are in everything, and I think that's the thing that we don't think about, that we think of cell phones specifically, or, you know, like an iPad, something like that, but they're in, like you say, just about everything.
They're in everything. If you're plugging it up to recharge it, it has a lithium battery in it. So, like, when you're charging, you want to make sure that you have it on a hard, flat surface. You don't want to be charging it under your pillow at night while you're sleeping. And you want to make, or on your couch. Somebody is sitting on the couch charging their phone, and they drop it in between the cushions.
Yeah.
Creates insulation and makes it heat up. So you want to make sure you have it out in the open and a well-ventilated area so you can charge it.
The other thing, too, is, and I know this is a hard thing for a lot of people, is charging whatever that device is with the cord that came with it. They make lots of cheap knockoffs for different charging whatever out there, but the ones that are designated by the manufacturer of that device are the ones you should be charging it with.
Point. Yeah. Just these last two things, you have spoken to me because I violate everything. I mean, because if I'm looking to charge something, a lot of times I'm just looking for whatever. I'm trying a bunch of different chords, and so this one works okay. So this is really good information.
Oh yeah. So when you buy these aftermarket chargers, they might not be designed to put out the right voltage that it takes to charge your cell phone or your device. They might put out too much voltage, and that could result in the battery being damaged and result in a fire.
Or a lot of times you're looking at this and you need a cord, and it's just easy. Let's just go find something on Amazon. This will work, and you go and get it.
Yes, those devices that you're getting from Amazon might not be rated for whatever the device is that you're charging.
Right. Well, and then the other thing when you just mentioned about charging, whether it's on the couch or the cushions or on the bed or anything like that, I've got to make some lifestyle changes here.
Yes, sir.
So these are good things to talk about, because I'm sure you see these things, or just like you, Katie, you pull it out and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh.
And some devices now do have a mechanism kind of built into them that if they start to overheat while they're charging, they will stop that charging.
Right.
But not every device has that. And I don't want to call it a last resort, but you want to make those other changes, charging it on that hard surface, not charging it on between cushions, things like that, and using that proper charger so you're not having to rely on that fail stop of the device saying, I'm overheated, I'm going to stop charging for now.
And along with charging, also just the storage of, right? Katie talked about a power bank that she had that the battery swelled up and popped the casing open. Where you store these devices, people walk around. I see people every day with the phone in the back pocket. I'm guilty of it. Guess what that's doing? That's heating up the inside of your phone and heating up the battery also.
Yeah.
Because your phone is still... it's still generating power, even though you're not using it. People leave them in their cars in summertime when it's 130 degrees inside your car. Your phone is 130 degrees.
Just to be clear, we're all guilty of this too. This is not just...
Yes.
Yeah, we
it's a good reminder.
Yes.
This is really a good reminder. Lithium batteries and fire safety... Fire Prevention Week this morning with Stafford Fire and Rescue. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk about this and many more things this morning as we go along with Ben and Katie from Stafford Fire and Rescue. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning and Fire Prevention Week. And specifically, we've started off talking lithium batteries. As Ben Goldman, you mentioned, Deputy Fire Chief at Stafford, that we live around them. How did we get to this point where lithium batteries are really all part of our existence anymore? I guess because they're accessible and can be used for
for so many things, and technology is...
Yeah.
That's where technology is today. That's everybody. We all live. We all need some kind of electronic device to live by today.
Well, as we go along this morning, we'll talk about just common forms of or causes of house fires. And I guess this could become a cause that you all get called out for.
Yes, this could definitely become a cause of a fire that we get called out for.
Well, and some of these, when we're talking about cell phones or some smaller things, and they can all catch on fire and create damage. But when you mentioned e-bikes, those e-bike batteries are big heavy batteries.
Yes, they're big batteries. They have lots of each battery has 48 cells within the battery, and each one of those cells is a separate battery. So the lithium battery is the problem with the lithium battery is it's so much energy stored in such a small compartment. So when one cell goes bad and it catches fire, it causes the other cell. So you have multiple little fires starting within that compartment, and that's from all the energy that is stored inside that compartment.
Well, and you think about, and you mentioned this about when you're charging, say an e-bike, that can sometimes you're charging that out in the garage.
Absolutely. It's recommended that you definitely don't want to charge it inside your house. The garage is an ideal place to do it. It's recommended not to do it in the middle of the night while you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have smoke detectors in their garage. And if you're charging this lithium e-bike or this e-bike battery in your garage and it catches on fire in the middle of the night, you have no early detection of that fire while you're sleeping.
When you're charging lithium batteries, this may vary from device to device, but after it's charged, will it shut off? Or, you know, is it good to leave something, you know, on the charger day after day after day if it's fully charged?
No, it's not good to leave it plugged up to, like, you're still sending electricity.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You're still sending electricity into it. Once you have it fully charged, you should disconnect it from the charger.
The lithium batteries can be real fire hazards, and that's why with each device and each situation you want to pay attention to things. And I guess also as they get older, if you notice that they're not holding a charge like they used to, you've got to, you know, deal with that. If the device or the battery is getting older.
Yes, if you notice that could be a sign for you to know that the battery is going bad. When it's not holding the charge like it's supposed to. Lithium batteries are designed to charge back to 85-90% of the battery strength and last the same amount of time each time. So if you notice that your battery is not staying charged like it should, that could be a sign that it's going bad and probably should be replaced.
And that's where you start looking for the recycling options. Just throw it in the trash.
Correct.
And have it go that way, because then you're causing perhaps danger or a fire situation at the landfill or, you know, in transport.
In transport, at the landfill, at your house, just don't throw the battery in the trash. There are recyclers around the area that you can properly dispose of them.
As we talk about Fire Prevention Week, and I mean, this just shows, I mean, there are so many things in a house to be aware of, and that they can become fire dangers. And I guess that's the other thing to have a Fire Prevention Week to talk about these kinds of things are.
Absolutely.
Be aware of these things. And one of the first things is have a working smoke detector.
Absolutely. You definitely need a working smoke detector in the living spaces of your house for the early detection of the fire.
And that brings us to the we're coming to the time of year soon when we switch the clocks for the time change, and that's a good time to check for your smoke detector.
That's a great time to be checking the battery, switching that battery out. As we've been talking about batteries this whole time, those batteries don't hold a charge for forever. So if you have a smoke alarm that still takes, they're usually a AA or a 9-volt battery, switch it out when you turn your clocks back. I know a lot of our devices switch them automatically, but your stove, clock, things like that, go ahead and switch them out, because you don't want to find out in a fire that your smoke alarm battery was dead. A lot of alarms now have a battery backup, but if the power's out, you would still want to know if you're going to have a fire in your house.
Yeah.
There are on the market now a lot of 10-year sealed alarms. We don't want to be switching the batteries in those, because if you switch the battery, it deactivates the alarm. But you should be testing your alarms once a month. That test button is there to make sure it works. If it sounds great, if it doesn't sound, let's figure out why. And a lot of times people are surprised to find out that smoke alarms actually do expire. The manufacturer cannot guarantee that it will work after 10 years on the date that is posted on the alarm.
Yeah.
So that was when it was manufactured, that date. 10 years, so it's 2025. If your smoke alarms were manufactured in 2015, it's time to start looking at some replacements. And just double checking those every month, making sure that it still works. If your alarm is chirping, that annoying chirping that usually only happens mm-hmm. between 2 and 4 a.m., check the battery first. If it continues to chirp, it could mean that it's time to start replacing that alarm. Will an 11-year-old alarm work? Potentially, but it can't be guaranteed.
Why take the chance?
The smoke alarms are not inexpensive. There is a cost associated with them, but it's not as expensive as the cost of replacing a home.
And I had a situation with a smoke detector downstairs where in testing it every month, I found it didn't work. So take it out. And so if I had waited until November, it would have been 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. So it is good. It is a good reminder. And I know that, and that's one of the reasons it's good to follow, say, Stafford Fire and Rescue on Facebook, because you will put those every month.
Reminders out there.
Those reminders.
Test them.
To test them.
Yeah.
And replace them. A lot of people will just take them down and think, oh, I don't need this one here.
Right.
But, you know, there's so many things, 56 years ago, or maybe even not that long ago, we used to just worry about fires in the kitchen, or maybe a candle, or maybe the occasional electrical fire. But with lithium ion batteries charging everything in arguably every room of our house now,
right,
it's more important than ever to have those working smoke alarms in all the living areas.
So in a normal house with a couple of levels, you should what have at least 3 or 4?
It depends. So you want to have one on every level.
Yeah.
And you want to have them inside and outside of the sleeping area. Now, it can kind of double up in places. So, like, if all of your bedrooms open into one kind of common area.
Then you can have
it
in the hall.
You can have one in the hallway, but you want it in the bedroom, too, because
you should
be sleeping with your door closed for that fire safety, which the door is going to keep it from the smoke from coming in and going to make those conditions survivable even in a really bad fire until we can rescue you from your room. But that smoke alarm is going to give you that forewarning that, hey, like, you need to start doing something now. With modern construction, we don't have the time that we had, you know, back in the 1950s and 60s.
That's such an interesting point of where, and we have seen that with some fires in this area. When it's an older house, they were built differently, and it just seems like the newer houses they burn a lot faster, unfortunately.
Faster and hotter.
Ben, you're the one you were the one a few years ago who alerted me to sleep with the door closed.
Sleep with your door closed. It definitely helps with it slows the spread of fire dramatically, to give you that opportunity to get out, right? Along with the smoke detect testing with your testing your smoke detectors, yeah. Right? Katie touched on your smoke detectors and sleeping with your bedroom door closed. You also want to create a fire safety escape plan, right? Two ways out of your room. If one of them's blocked, you have the second way out. You want to pick a meeting place outside so everybody gathers at one place. And you also want to practice that. You also want to have it. Like, you want to practice that a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Like, making sure it's still good. Things change. Like, you might have not had a bush outside your window that now you have a bush out there that you have to overcome.
Or you may have different mobility or you challenges. Have
different
now.
Mobility challenges. And then once you get out, stay out. Don't go back in.
Well, and to have everybody in a place, when fire and rescue gets there, you're able to give them. You're able to know we're all here.
We're all accounted for. Yes.
We're still going to search in your house in a fire, but if we know, it is more helpful for us if we know that everyone's out. We're still going to search, or if someone is still stuck inside, that's going to change our strategy and tactics a little bit. And it is so if you get out and someone's still stuck inside, if you stay out, now we are looking to rescue one person.
Right.
If you go back in looking, your chances of making it back out decreased dramatically. And now instead of searching for one person, we're searching for two people, which requires additional personnel, And of course we'll do it. That's what we're trained to do. But it is more helpful if you can give us an idea of where that person may be and we can affect that search and that rescue more quickly than if you try and go back in and do that. And same for pets, too. People get really concerned about their pets. I get it. I've got a dog. I love my dog. But it is better to let our personnel go in and rescue that dog, because they'll go in and search for animals, mm-hmm. too. Than for you to risk your life without the proper personal protective equipment and training to go back in and try and rescue that dog.
One more topic on while we're talking about, like, get out, stay out. Also, if one of these batteries happen to catch on fire inside your house, do not pick that device up and try to carry it outside. You have a potential there for explosions or many, many explosions from each cell of that battery when it starts its thermal runaway process while it's burning.
That's a good point, because I could see you thinking, let me get it outside and then we're okay.
Yeah, you could pick it up and the next thing you're injured, you're burned. And when these things start popping or burning, they pop and throw lithium pieces everywhere. And it can get on your clothes, catch your clothes on fire, you can burn your hands. And then the smoke that's coming off of it is just not good to breathe at all. It's not healthy or safe for you to pick that device up and carry it out.
It's a great thing that the focus is on lithium batteries, and this I can see will be as in future years as we continue to have these talks to talk about this, because it has become such a part of our life. It's in our houses, and it's at all levels of our house. It's not just like it's just in the kitchen, or it's everywhere.
And these things are self-oxidizing, right? They're oxidizers, so you can't just put water on it to put it out. It takes copious amounts, lots of amounts of water to extinguish one of these fires.
I never thought of that, just of putting, of how to put one of these fires out.
Normally, in the past, it's been, we go in, we spray water, and the fire goes out.
Yeah.
These things, the fire will go out, but then it comes back because of the air and the moisture and the lithium that's in these batteries. It creates the heat that results in the fire.
Quick break. We're going to continue on. I've got a number of other questions on a number of things, and some of what we've just talked about today. But we need to take a quick break and continue on this morning. Deputy Fire Chief Ben Goldman and Stafford Katie Brady, the Public Information Officer for Stafford Fire and Rescue, here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is a Stafford Fire and Rescue in this morning. Deputy Fire Marshal Ben Goldman here, along with Katie Brady, the Public Information Officer for Stafford Fire and Rescue. Good tips. One of the things, Katie, when you were just talking about practicing and with your family, and so often I think we all think about, and I've always thought about that in the sense of you take your kids and you orient your kids to what you do. But even when you don't have kids, as adults, and especially as older adults, because you mentioned just mobility, and maybe it may take you longer, just to know that in a pinch, when you're having to rush out to try that, see how long it takes you to get down the steps. If you've got a split foyer, for instance, get down the steps.
Things change over years.
We all get a little creakier.
Your kids get older. We all, things age. And, be testing your abilities within reason.
Yeah.
When the emergencies don't stop just because we get older. If you're not going to be able to crawl down a hallway and crawl down the stairs, let's figure out another plan for you. And that goes back to sleeping with your door closed. Even those flimsy doors we all have in our houses will hold back fire for a long enough time that we can get there and we can rescue you. Or if you're older and now you have grandkids coming to stay with you for the holidays, and I know we'll talk about that maybe the next time we come, but if you're having family coming and staying with you, Maybe you have people sleeping in areas you don't normally have people sleeping in. It sounds weird, but have that conversation when a family arrives, because they're probably not used to your house.
Right.
And so maybe they don't know what the meeting spot is. And we've run fires on Thanksgiving and on Christmas and other, you know, family holidays where all of a sudden a house that only has two or three people in it has 7, 8, 9, 10. And so we're trying to get a head count on everyone. They're trying to make sure everyone's out. Take that 5 minutes. Make sure you have that conversation when your company arrives. And yeah, planning for your mobilities. If it means that maybe it would be safer for you to have a bedroom on a first floor, or if you've moved houses in the last 5, 10 years, anytime there's a big change, go ahead and look at that plan again. Talk it over with your household. Maybe you've got an older parent now living with you, and you kind of have to plan for that as well. So those plans evolve as our lives evolve.
Well, and I'm sure, Ben, one of the things is we talk about, you know, don't go back, and that's got to be the hardest thing, whether it's a pet or a person. But like Katie mentioned, if with you going back in, that adds, when fire and rescue gets there, that adds another person that you're having now to account for.
To account for, yeah. And it's yes, pets, people, like people want to go back in and get other people. People want to go back in and get their pets. They also just want to go in and get things.
Yeah.
Things can be replaced, right? We don't want to see your things get damaged just as much as you don't. And it's really not worth going back in there risking your own life to retrieve that one thing, whatever that one thing could be.
We'll go in and pull that stuff out.
We'll bring it to you. We'll pull it out for you. But it's just not worth risking your life going in to try to save that one thing that you're going after.
Right, because whether you're putting yourself at risk or you're putting the fire and rescue personnel that are coming in. I saw a video the other day of just inside. It was a training video and showed just smoke in a house, and I got a whole new perspective and appreciation for what you all do, because you couldn't see anything, and this fire was not a huge. This was just a. This wasn't. I looked at it and I thought, how do you ever find anything?
We find things after the fire.
Yeah.
We're looking for people, searching for people, pets during the fire. We'll look for your things after the fire.
The smoke can be very disorienting too. Going back to your fire escape plan. If you feel the door and open the door to your room, let's say it's the middle of the night, you're sleeping in your room, and you just see that wall of smoke, that is not what you're trying to crawl through. When we say get low and go under smoke, we're talking about a little bit of wispy smoke up way up above you on the ceiling. If you're hit with a wall of that like black, nasty smoke, that smoke is just as hot as the fire too. We want you to close that door, stay in that bedroom you're in where there isn't a lot of smoke, and go to the window, open the window, and get that fresh air. If you're trying to go through that smoke, I've seen it in my own career where people have tried to make it through that smoke. They get disoriented. They get turned around. They think they're going down the stairs. They end up trapped in another room, or they don't make it down the stairs because they think they're one place.
Yeah.
They think they know the layout of their house, but they don't. And we don't want that to happen to anyone. So if the fire is so advanced that there is that wall of smoke right outside your room, close that door, stay in there, put a little blanket or a towel to kind of fill that crack at the bottom of the door, keep that smoke from coming in. Your room's going to get warm, maybe like 100, 120 degrees, but that's a lot more survivable than 900, 1,000 degrees, which is what some of these fires can reach.
I never thought, and you just said that the smoke is hot too.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
The smoke is carrying just as much heat as the flames are.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I never thought of that. That I thought that you sort of had a buffer from the fire, but the smoke's coming off of that. So that is, and you can see of where you can. It's so easy to get disoriented, even if you know your house so well, of where you think you're somewhere.
And if you're breathing in that smoke too, and it's starting to starve your brain of oxygen,
yeah.
Like. You're going to get disoriented. You may be forgetting where you're trying to go. And it happens very quickly. So.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, too, Katie. The other thing is when, especially the fires that happen at night, when you're woken up by the smoke alarm, it's already, it's well engaged, and you do need to be able to make a split-second decision.
Potentially. They estimate nowadays that if you really have a fire in your house, you have about 2 minutes to get out before things really could get in a bad way. And a lot of people want to go see if it's real. They want to go see where the fire is. And when you have, when you're talking 2 minutes, that's not a lot of time. So that means we're not stopping to pack all of our essentials. We're not stopping to grab our phones. You need to get out. Like Deputy Chief Goldman said, we can go. Things can be replaced, and we can go in afterwards and retrieve things. We do it on almost on every fire, and.
Or try to put it out.
The most important thing, yeah, or trying to put it out. The most important thing is to get out and stay out.
As the equipment that you train, that you train with and use, I would think technology has helped and improved over the years. But I mean, you're still in great danger. We talk about Fire Prevention Week starting in the 20s. Obviously, equipment has changed, but still. There's still the danger that was in the 20s. It's still today.
It's still today. Yes.
Thank you for what you all do.
Even with the equipment, you talked about the equipment, the technology that is coming about and the equipment that we use is getting better and better every day also. We have cameras now that pick up heat signatures. We call them thermal imaging cameras that we can take in with us, and it has a screen, and we can see if there's heat, where the heat is. Or we can, it kind of sees through the smoke for us, right? So we can see if there's something laying on the floor over here. We can see what's in the rooms and in the hallways.
It's another tool, but I mean, even our gear, nothing is fireproof. All have temperatures that they fail at. So we're going to test the limits to make sure we're taking care of the people that we signed up to serve. But at the end of the day, there's still an inherent danger.
One of the great things I think about that social media in the past few years has shown, that you've all done a great job of educating us just about the training that goes on that fire and rescue people do, that you're not just sitting around playing cards all day waiting for the next alarm. There's a lot of training. There's a lot of training that goes on.
Absolutely. These guys come to work every day and they train every day.
Yeah.
People drive by and they see them out in the parking lot and they always want to know what's going on. Why are they doing that? Why are they? Right. They're training.
Yeah.
Right? They're pulling hose lines.
You see that a lot.
You see the hose lines across the parking lots at the fire stations or you see them climbing a ladder at the fire station.
Yeah.
They're doing this so they know. It's almost you want it to be secondhand nature when it comes time to need it.
So when you get a call and you're on the way to the call, are you putting gear on and what happens?
You should be getting dressed before you get in.
Okay.
And that's part of the training component too.
Is yeah.
Dressing quickly because the public expects 100% from us 100% of the time, and that's what they deserve. So that's what we're going to train for.
Well, and it's amazing because all your reports, Katie, when you put out a report on a fire, we'll talk about the time from the time you got the call of when they got on scene, and it's amazing how quickly you can get to scenes, and also having fire stations, as many fire stations near places helps, but. I'm always just amazed at how quickly when that call was received and when, you got on site.
I mean, yeah, they we have certain time expectations we need to meet, and that starts with getting out to the rigs. If it's a structural call, getting dressed, getting in the rigs, and heading down the road. When they're heading down the road, it's not like they're just, singing to their favorite song. They're, watching traffic because we have to be defensive drivers. They're listening to any notes that are coming in. They also have the ability, the officer who's riding in the passenger seat has the ability to be reading the notes. They're talking about what hose line's going to get pulled and where they're going to be getting their water from a hydrant if they're on an engine. If they're on a ladder truck, they're going to be talking about their tactics once they get on scene, so that they have a plan. Because we have you know, general guidelines, but it's going to be a little bit specific to each situation. Mm-hmm. And they're formulating that plan. And as you mentioned with some of these reports, when you only have 3 or 4 minutes,
right.
Depending on how far away it is from the station, that's a lot of information to consume and digest in that amount of time. And keeping in mind, you know, your heart rate's amped up. There's a little bit of adrenaline going too. That's why a lot of us got into this. And especially if you've gone from a dead sleep to all of this in the span of about 90 seconds, you have to be able to actually understand what's being told to you, even though you have all these other factors to consider as well.
Which also brings up to just the thanks to the people in dispatch who are able to describe all of these things under really tough circumstances and to be able to clearly articulate what you're going into. And so you're ready.
Yes. Yeah, dispatch, they definitely have to be able to paint that picture for us, so we know what we're getting in, what we're going to. And their job could be very stressful. They're probably on the phone with the caller, or the homeowner, and they're talking to us at the same time. So they have a lot going on at the same time that we do.
And for the homeowner, the person impacted, to be as clear as possible and to call you as soon as you see something, let me try to put it out first and then I'll call.
Correct.
call fire and rescue and then get out. And yep. That putting the fire out is something
we'll tell you to get out before you call 911.
Yeah. It's much better to call 911 from your front yard than to be trying to call from inside. I mean, under the right conditions, fire can double in size every 30 seconds. Mm. So you think about how long those phone calls can last. Make that phone call from, get outside, make that phone call from the outside. And one thing that we cannot emphasize enough is, especially with your whole household, make sure everyone knows your address. We find a lot of kids will end up being our 911 callers, even for a medical call. If something's wrong with one of their parents or another adult in the household. It's really important to know your address, because even if we don't quite know what the situation is, if we can get someone there and we know where we're going, we can figure it out from there. But just get us going in the right direction, and we can get you help quickly. You know, when people rarely call and ask for us to come slowly and whenever you have time, they want, if you're calling 911, chances are it's probably one of the worst days you've had. You want us there quickly. So yeah. Being able to tell us where to go, you know, knowing the numbers, knowing the street name, is incredibly helpful.
And have your house marked, too.
Have your house marked.
Yes.
I just know
address numbers posted visible from the street.
Yeah. No, I know. Sometimes when someone, you're going to take something to somebody and you can't find, and if you're in the best of times trying to find, you know, where those numbers are.
And you're doing that under no stress.
Right. Or it's not dark.
Add the adrenaline and the stress level that we have coming into an emergency.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, as when you're out on the road and you see and you hear a fire engine, get over.
Yes, please don't stop in the middle of the road.
Right.
Please. The engines, the trucks, even the ambulances.
To the right.
Are very heavy, and the stopping distance is much greater.
Yeah.
So when we have people in that fight or flight freeze mentality and they freeze in the middle of the road because they see lights coming behind them, please just move over to the right, move over, and they will go around you. But when they stop right in front of us, it is incredibly hard to stop some of those units that,
yeah.
I mean, we're carrying 750 gallons of water on our engines. Those ladders on top of the ladder trucks are not light. Our heavy rescues, they're heavy. They have a lot of tools, a lot of equipment on them. And we're trying to get to where we're going as safely and as quickly as we can. But we have people stop in the middle of the road all the time because they don't know what to do. Move over to the right.
And when you hear it, I guess, even if you're not sure where it's coming from, get over. Because it may be from the other side, and if that's the case, then you can continue on. But if it is, at least you've moved over, and you're going to let mm-hmm. you get through.
Yeah, so if you're driving down the road and you have your earbuds in, if you're listening to music so loud that you cannot hear a siren coming up behind you,
that's too loud.
That's probably a little bit too loud.
Yeah. Quick break. We'll wrap this up with Katie and Ben from Stafford Fire and Rescue this morning on News Talk 12.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Stafford Fire and Rescue. Serious stuff. Ben Goldman, the Deputy Fire Chief with Stafford Fire and Rescue, and Katie Brady, the Public Information Officer, here this morning, as usual, talking about all of this. It is we're in the midst of National Fire Prevention Week, and lithium batteries is how we started this off. And just good reminders that lithium batteries are everywhere and in every room, and we use them all the time. And be careful. And you had a great story, Katie, about how they can expand and get old. And when that happens, find a way to recycle them and get them out of the house.
Yes. When they have expanded to the point where they're not charging properly, if they're overheating. In my case, I had something that the battery itself swelled up so much that it pops the casing off that was enclosing it. Those are not usable anymore. You need to get them out of a building if they're in a building, and then you need to recycle them properly. Do not throw them in the trash. Do not take them to the landfill and throw it in the landfill. Lithium-ion batteries can be extremely flammable if they're punctured and if they're overheated, and they can cause when they catch on fire. The lithium that they throw off can cause some pretty significant burns. So if you have one of those devices that has caught fire in your house, as we've been talking about, get outside, call 911, let us come handle it. We don't want you to get burned trying to get that outside and trying to handle it yourself. But we can prevent that by using proper charging devices, not charging our devices under our pillows or in couch cushions or on surfaces like that can cause those devices to heat up even more. Charge them on a flat surface and, use those cords that come with the devices. Those have a fire safety rating on them, and they're going to make sure that those devices are not overheating while they're charging them.
And sometimes you lose those kinds of things and you just think, well, let me just go get I can get a cheap other one. And that's where problems can come. And the other thing is, I guess if you see when you're charging it up and it seems like it's unusually hot, take these as warnings.
Definitely take it as a warning, and you definitely want to replace that battery as soon as possible. You really want to replace the battery. Any signs of swelling, cracking, leaking, or overheating.
Yeah.
If you have that sulfur smell, that could be an odor coming from the battery. It's a sign that it's leaking, and it's potentially there. It's going to fail soon.
And when you get to that point, because Katie, you could have taken the thing. Well, I haven't used this in a while, and I still feel like I can get a little bit more use out of this. When it's gone, it's gone.
It's time to. I mean, they kind of become disposable at that point.
Yeah.
And again, we want to dispose of it properly. There are local places around here that you can go to have them recycled properly. If you come to our open house at Station 12 on Friday at 20 Sebring Drive between 4 and 6:30, we're actually partnering with the R Board, and they're going to have some information about how you can properly dispose of lithium-ion batteries, and then amongst other activities as well. But with that, with charge into fire safety and lithium-ion batteries being the theme for Fire Prevention Week this year, we wanted to make sure we have that component as well. So we hope everyone comes out on Friday from 4 to 6:30.
Okay, so this Friday, 4 to 6:30.
This Friday, and then on the 24th, we'll be at Station 14, also from 4 to 6:30.
Good information. Thank you both for coming in. This is really, really helpful, and I think just a good wake-up call for a lot of us to take these things seriously. Ben Goldman, Katie Brady with Stafford Fire and Rescue. Thank you. We'll get together and talk holiday safety real soon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
See you soon. Thanks. That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.